Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to hear from Father Andrew Dickinson, who leads the Newman Center at South Dakota State University. Fascinating things going on at Newman Centers today. We're going to talk about that, how that ministry is impacting not just the students there, but really life across the diocese. So stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Melinda North with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again, the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord, because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel grew up and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the 45th annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. is set for this week on January 19th, and the Diocese of Sioux Falls will have a group of pilgrims in the nation's capital making a statement in support of the culture of life. Emily Leadham of the Office of Marriage, Family, and Respect Life for the Diocese worked to put together the contingent from East River, South Dakota that will attend the March for Life. This is the sixth year the diocese has coordinated a trip to the nation's capital for the March for Life. The group will depart from the diocese this week, January 17th, following Bishop Paul J. Swain's blessing of the group and their buses. The group returns to the diocese on Sunday, January 21st. Leadham says the pilgrimage is a blessing and a challenge. It's hard hard. It's truly a pilgrimage. And yet every year I come back from the March for Life and I'm changed and I'm moved and I'm inspired, she said. The bus trip and participation in the march has drawn adults and young people in the past. You can read and see more about the pilgrimage group and their efforts in the January edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, starting this week, a new live interactive program debuted on Relevant Radio in Green Bay, Wisconsin, aimed at bringing together people across the United States to pray the rosary at the same time. Believed to be the first program of its kind, Relevant Radio's Family Rosary Across America originated in the Los Angeles area with the rosary led by Father Dave Haney, pastor of St. Bruno Catholic Church in Whittier, California. The program airs Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, that is, in Green Bay. An announcement from Green Bay's based Relevant Radio said listeners will be able to call in or email their prayer intentions each day to be prayed for during the broadcast. They can send an email or call 888-914-9149 to the program. Imagine your joy as you hear people praying for your intentions and your joy knowing that your prayers are helping others in our family of faith who are in need, Father Haney said in a statement. Imagine people all across America joining their voices together in the rosary at the same time. The Catholic Church in England and Wales has launched a cell phone app designed to help users deepen their faith and discover their vocations. The God Calls app was commissioned by the National Office for Vocation of the Bishop's Conference of England and Wales as a spiritual toolkit. The app includes daily prayers and meditations on the gospel and the lives of the saints, as well as a news section and Twitter feed to connect users to the life of the church. It also includes a journal so that users can monitor their spiritual growth and understand more clearly how God might be calling them. The Vocations Office said in a statement that Catholics would see their faith grow if they used that app regularly. More than 8,000 young adults from around the country gathered at McCormick Place in Chicago, Illinois this month to gain the tools to share their faith with the world. They were attending SLS 18, a biennial conference sponsored by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students known as Focus. Mass was the focal point of each day of the conference, along with talks by keynote speakers such as Los Angeles Auxiliary Bishop Robert E. Barron, actor Jim Caviezel, who played the role of Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, and Sister Bethany Madonna, a Sister of Life. Christian recording artist Matt Maher performed an evening concert this week. Organizers said priests heard more than 4,000 confessions, and many of the young people attended Eucharistic adoration held in a special area during the entire event. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Gene, that's the perfect story, segues right into our conversation with Father Andrew Dickinson. Let's move to that now. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Father Andrew Dickinson, who is the director at the Newman Center, the Pius XII Newman Center at South Dakota State University in Brookings. He is joining us by phone this morning. And Father, it is good to have a chance to catch up with you just in terms of how things are going at the Newman Center these days.
Thanks. It's great to be on the phone with you, Jerry, and your listeners. We're here at the beginning of a new semester of classes and outreach, and happy to share with you guys what's going on.
I know that you recently attended, along with a number of students, the gathering in Chicago, the Student Leadership Summit. I believe that's connected to the Focus organization, am I right?
You're correct. So their SLS conference 2018, put on by Focus, there was over 7,000 students and also parishioners from parishes and dioceses around the country that were gathered there the week of January 2nd through the 6th in Chicago.
Well, when I think about a gathering of a group of people like that, primarily young people, either from Newman Centers or from parishes, I find a lot of hope in that, that first of all, that they're interested, that they're willing, and that they're eager to be involved in some fashion or another in the ministry of the church.
It is very encouraging. I had one of my professors at SDSU and a parishioner of the Newman Center was out there for a veterinary science conference, and he came over one night, and he was just blown away by what he saw. It's his own expectations couldn't prepare him, even though he's known been going on these conferences for years. But just to see those young people committed to the process of being formed and being equipped about how they can be not just practical leaders in the church, but sharing in the mission that comes from the very heart of our Lord.
That's that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, and I should mention to our listeners that Father Andrew is in a sense representing his brothers who lead Newman Centers at Aberdeen at the at Northern State and at University of South Dakota in Vermilion. Each of the campuses, I believe, has focused ministry at this point. Am I right about that too?
You are correct. All three of the locations have focused missionaries on site. And even at this conference, we had students and a campus minister from Dakota State in Madison, as well as Father Kaiser from St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Madison, committing his time and personal presence to be there in that effort for their own outreach on campus, as well as their formation of future leaders in the church from DSU.
So help our listeners out a little bit, and myself included, Father, because it's been a lot of years since I was a member of the Newman Center in Brookings. It's a different kind of world, both, if you will, from the outside looking in and from the inside being there. It's a different kind of world than it was then, and the ministry is different than it was then. Explain a little bit to us, if you would, what the ministry looks like today, particularly involving focus.
Yeah, Jerry, happy to do that. I think, you know, in times past, because of the stability of parishes, because of the stability of family life, kind of the stability we have in our culture, kind of the main aim and goal of the Newman Center was just kind of be a safe place, a place of refuge for students in the midst of the storms of college. But in the past decade or so, there's been kind of a countrywide awakening by a lot of bishops, and the coinciding of the growth of focus has helped immensely with this, but that we need to use our Newman Centers a little more proactively, in the sense that we know if we pay attention to discussions about religious participation in America, we know that we're losing Catholics. The largest religious group growing in the U.S. right now are the nuns, not the N-U-N-S, but the N-O-N-E-S, having no religion. And so we need to be equipping our students, our future parishioners, our young adults, not just with the knowledge of the faith, but also with a living encounter with Jesus Christ and the sacraments, so that they can help their coworkers, their parishioners, their neighbors do the same when they get out into normal parish life.
And what does that look like in terms of the actual ministry that goes on at Newman Centers today?
So how that gets applied on the ground with the local Newman Center is we really encourage students to be reaching out to their peers. Because wherever you go, you're going to have peers. Maybe it may look different when you're an engineering executive at 3M or Raven Industries in Sioux Falls. It may look different when you're a member of the co-op in Hoven, but they're going to be reaching out to peers. And so we have them reaching out to peers on the campus so that they can get that experience of that peer-to-peer outreach and grow in that through Bible studies, through intimate encounters, through friendship, really, is the big tool, because you know, anyone can try and sell you something, but you trust a friend. Mm-hmm. And Pope Paul VI has a line, actually, from a post-synod document back in the late 70s, where he says, modern man is less willing to listen to teachers. He's only willing to listen to teachers if they're first witnesses. And so to have that sort of witness and have that witness be purposely done in friendship is what we try to do and hope that they pick up that habit to carry it on in the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Part of the whole reason that I was interested in talking about Newman Ministry today, and particularly the involvement of focus in Newman Ministry, is a question that came to me, someone that I've known for a long time whose children are a little older and have been away from college for a while, he'd heard about focus, and he said, "Is it enough? Are we doing enough? Is it really effective?" And it spurred me to think about that a little bit. And I know what I've seen, but I'd like to hear how you view that as one who's so intimately involved in it.
That's a great question. Is it effective? In some senses, yes. In some senses, no. Yes, it's effective in the sense of I know of no other way to purposely activate a Newman Center and purposely activate a student body at a Newman Center that would do things as good or as well as focus does. They do the work brilliantly, efficiently, and well. And they stay true to their mission in their decades, their relatively young life in terms of the church. I think they do their mission well mm-hmm. in that regard. So there's no other organization I'd want, at least at this point in time, in that campus, when in that campus, working in my 9 years of being at this Newman Center. But in some senses, no, it's not enough in the sense that, back, I think of our Lord in Matthew's gospel, where he looks out at the masses and he says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. Pray to the master of the harvest to send out more laborers into his harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always a need, I think, for more in that way. And I would encourage anyone who maybe, has suffered the loss of children from the faith, to know that these efforts are there, and they may not have been there when their children were in school, but these might end up being the coworkers, the neighbors of their children, and through that relationship of friendship and witness of faith, it might help to bring their own children back to the faith.
I always think too about seeds that are planted that may not sprout immediately. Even having that contact, it seems to me during the college years, whether it leads to immediate fruit or not, it helps in the long run.
It does, and I think the motive there of or the motif of patience is also important. With the college atmosphere, it's easy for me to get impatient. Both just kind of the youthfulness, sense of wanting to see things happen now,
mm-hmm.
but also because of the need and the urgency. But there is that sense of patience that the Lord knows what he's about, and if we do his work and we're faithful to his work, we will see that fruit.
Are they able to, and I think about, again, going back to my college years, which maybe isn't fair because it's so darn long ago, but I think about, in a sense, dorm life and how insulated that can be. Are they able to reach in? Are focus members able to reach in a sense and kind of break through some of that insular life that college kids can end up with?
It still is insular, so that hasn't changed much. If anything, it might have intensified, because when you were in college, when I was in college in the 1990s, the late 90s, we didn't have a personal cell phone.
Right.
We didn't have the personal devices, the personal screens. You could live in your own little world with those devices and screens like students can now. We are able to break into that because, of course, focus isn't themselves doing all the work. They're equipping students to do that work.
Right.
And so we have students being able to reach out to students who live in Brown Hall, students who live in Young and Binnowees, are able to reach out to their peers in that way. And some of our students are even strategic about that, maybe picking a third year in the dorms or trying to be a resident assistant, a community assistant in the dorms. To be able to have that outreach opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, it is a tough atmosphere to break into.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. It can be. I want to make sure people do kind of get the broader sense of all this as well. Talking about how college life can be kind of a unique experience, if you will. But I want people to see how this, in a sense, ties into the bigger picture of both parish and diocesan ministry, in how it relates to this real emphasis on discipleship. Because I think that is another way that people can begin to understand what's going on at the Newman Centers, why it's going on the way it's going on, and that it really does, in a sense, fit as part of the puzzle. Could you talk about that a little bit?
That's a great question, Jerry. It kind of comes up to that 5,000 foot view, or the higher view of what's going on, and connects into refrains from our recent popes, Pope St. John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis. I think most recently Pope Francis using the phrase missionary disciples,
right,
in his letter on the joy of evangelization. And I think about Bishop Swain's own efforts to kind of restructure the chancery, that the offices aren't so much about reemphasizing just in titles the idea of discipleship, whether with the young or with adults. And so I think part of that connection with the Newman Centers then is this larger work of how do we walk with people? How do we learn to walk with Jesus ourselves and to help others to walk with Jesus and the call that Jesus gives every soul?
Mm-hmm.
So the call that Jesus makes to each and every soul isn't just simply learn the content of the faith and go to Mass on Sundays, but to carry Jesus with them out into their work and their homes. In some ways, then extending that call, the Second Vatican Council, which was still relatively young in the life of the Church, of that call to a universal holiness. That holiness is not just for those in monasteries, but it's for all the faithful. And this fits into that and becomes a way to concretely live that out and make that happen from Mobridge down to Elk Point.
The other thing I really like about it, and I think, again, this may have application in your work in the Newman Center, is that we're all different kind of creatures. We learn differently. We relate differently. But when we are using a model of relationship, there's likely to be someone that we can relate to that can help us, in a sense, to deepen then that relationship with Jesus. It's not just a top-down or an imposed sort of thing. It becomes, if you find the right person, they can help you get there.
I think you're exactly right with that point, Jerry, in the sense that, you know, if you really want to lose weight, you don't just need the shakes or pre-made meals. You need someone to walk with you, someone to tutor you in that way. If you really want to learn language, you could have all the automatic programs on your computer in the world, but if you actually live with someone who speaks that language, and that's the way to best learn it, because it's able to connect with you on your own, on your basis that way, and it's not just dependent upon, do you like learning from videos, do you like learning from reading books, but no, you actually have a person to encounter in that way, and that's part of the beautiful humanity of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I think it's what Jesus asked us to do. It's what he taught his disciples to do. Yeah. Yeah. It's what he taught his disciples to do as well, and that's really the model we're trying to follow.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a good thing going for any method.
Yeah. I want you to say a little bit, if you could, because I know this is a really important a piece for you, and that is because you have the privilege of having been there for a number of years, you've seen people come in, go through, leave, and become effective parishioners elsewhere. Somehow that is such an important piece, I think, that we really are preparing people to be responsible Christians and Catholics throughout their life.
Yeah, that's here in my ninth year now. That's been a great consolation in that way, and it's a big, great lesson in patience for me as a priest as well. I think about some of those priests who have had long tenures at our Newman Centers. Father Michael Griffin at SDSU, some others at USD who have had long tenures, and how they get to see those fruits throughout the rest of their priesthood. And now seeing, I can think of one young couple that's now back, and the husband's working at St. George in Hartford, right outside of Sioux Falls, and the wife is teaching some natural family planning classes while they raise their young family. And just, it really is a gift in that way. I think all the dioceses, if they knew a bit of what I knew and I could talk with them individually, I'd love to share with them more just about the encouragement that those maturing fruits can bring to their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a real blessing to be able to see that. As we have just a couple of minutes left this morning, Father, in our conversation, what are things that you either look forward to in this coming semester, in the coming years, in your ministry, and maybe what you want to make sure people that are listening understand about Newman Center Ministry?
I'd love to do that, Jerry. I think one thing I'm looking forward to is we have an opportunity to grow. We were able to acquire some land right to the south of us, and we're going to be looking to see if our alumni want to activate and move towards the possibility of growing to get some more space. Because of the growth of the university and because of the success of our ministry, we have that need to grow. And so we're going to be seeking to build up, we like to call it, Catholic Jacks Association. Whether they're alumni or they're just friends of the ministry, but to get them a little more activated. We've never had the sort of active involvement from them. But I think the other opportunity in this way that encourages me is that Catholic Jacks Association is going to be the opportunity for people to hear these stories of hope a little more closely, to see this hope for the future. You know, our news cycle, the things we experience these days are always so dour and down, and everything's bad and getting worse. 2017 was worse than 2016, and who knows what 2018 is going to bring. There's that opportunity to bring that good news, that good experience of what Christ is doing in the hearts of these young people. So we're excited to have that as kind of a new aspect of our ministry from the Newman Center.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to hearing more about the potential plans for the future and certainly the ongoing work with the ministry. I can attest, having been back a few times in recent years, the place is a lot fuller than it was when I was there, again, quite a few years ago, but it's fuller now, and I credit that to the work that you're doing and your predecessors have done to build it up. So great work.
Well, thank you. Praise God.
Father Andrew Dickinson, who directs the Newman Center at the at South Dakota State University, thanks for being with us this morning.
God bless you.
Gene, you mentioned Maher, and guess what? He's coming here.
That's amazing. He was just in Chicago this week at the Focus event, but lately it seems that he is everywhere, and part of that everywhere will be, as you said, Jerry, right here very soon.
He's going to be performing for the Gift of Hope concert this year. It's going to be March 24th. It's going to be at the Harrisburg High School Performing Arts Center. It's a benefit that helps Catholic Family Services an awful lot.
It's always a great event over the years. They've had many, many great afternoons of activity, so it's going to be great.
Go to get your tickets at ccfesd.org. You'll find the information there. And that's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.